Hello.
Oh, hi, hi.
That's new.
Welcome, Mr. Broberg.
Ahoy, ahoy, gentlemen.
Pleasure to see you.
Same to you. Happy first day, Paul.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Can we get sponsored now?
You know, my very first action at my new employer was to create a filter to send the Memo mailing list directly to trash.
Number one, love how you say memo list. Memo is, it sounds like an adorable robot.
It's because it's filled with memes. I don't know.
Right to trash. Good for you. Good way to set the stage.
Oh, that's right. Y'all get to use Gmail.
Democracy.
Right. I'm still stuck over in the Verse world.
Are we actually recording? Did I just accidentally announce my employer in my employer name?
Well, I mean, I can cut all this out if you want.
No, it's fine. We can go ahead with that. I wasn't going to say anything until I get the hat, but hopefully I get the hat before this goes live. So we should be okay. I started my new job today at Red Hat as what's my title? I'm like a technical specialist solutions architect or something like that. I should probably know what my new job consists of, but there we go. I don't. And that's pretty on brand.
They hired you anyway.
They hired me anyway.
Are you working with anyone our audience might know?
Yeah, you could say that. I'm actually working for Sasha, who I think most folks in the DevOps community knows. So much so that I don't even need to say her last name. And then also working alongside Aaron, who is probably also pretty well known. And I don't need to say
Crazy Jackets, Aaron. Crazy Jacket.
Crazy Jacket, Aaron. That's right. Aaron and the Technicolor Dream Coat.
Love it. That's fantastic, man. It's fun that you are a coworker and that you've already rejected the way of memo lists for listeners not in the Red Hat ecosystem. That is a email list that goes to every employee at the company without any filtering. And has been known to be both really interesting and a tire fire at times, which depending on your day, you might want one or the other.
So there's a lot of unsubscribe, reply all emails.
Never one unsubscribe storm I've seen. We only get those on the random LDAP generated email list that no one consented to. Like, you know, Concur Org Midwest had a hell of a fire or whatever the hell it actually was. No, memo list is more where it's kind of feels like the Facebook of employee conversations, where you learn more than you want to about people that you work with, and sometimes it's really revealing and wonderful, and sometimes you're like, wow, it's a pretty trash opinion that you just sent to 17,000 people. Cool.
All right.
Yeah, I have a feeling, and I only joined today, so I've only seen today, but I have a feeling that some recent software freedom stuff that's been going around probably created some really interesting takes on that mailing list.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I avoided that.
There have been really important and relevant conversations around pay equity that have, I don't think I'm saying anything out of line by saying like that's a conversation a lot of organizations are having, and been some really thoughtful insights from people in different parts of the org. And I think that's like one of the special parts of reaching out to people through a flat system. And, you know, with the other side of that is not as lovely. And yeah. Isn't that people in a nutshell?
Pay equity discussions, transparent ones, are always very good. And in fact, if we had transparent pay equity discussions in my previous job, I wouldn't be at a new job right now. So there we go.
Ah, damn. Seems incredibly relevant. JJ, what are you mowing down? we've probably been on the line for 5 minutes and he is just nonstop carbohydrates, like of different forms. I can't quite put my finger on what the hell it is.
I swear I've seen him eat three different sandwiches in the last 3 minutes.
I was waiting for later on in the podcast to bring this up, but
okay, cool. We'll wait till later on then.
No, I'm gonna do it now. Damn it. So I've had the luxury of learning how to get a brand new oven put inside because my oven is shit and finally decided to die. No joke, when I had the repair guy come in to look at the oven because it was busted, he looked at it and he's like, holy shit, this is a classic. Like, how the hell is it still running? And I'm like, that's probably a bad sign. So I got a brand new oven. And I made my first two loaves of bread with it today between meetings. So this is my first loaf of bread that I made. And I have a nice Pinot Grigio with it too. And I had the buttered version already. And I have believe it or not, I really don't like Nutella. I just like the Hershey spread. Or actually, I like the one that I got in Belgium, but I can't find it here for obvious reasons. So the closest thing I found is like this Hershey spread because I don't really like hazelnut. So that's what you're seeing me eat the other slices are.
So if you want to experience like Nutella to the extreme, my buddy brought back from Italy a jar of like OG Nutella. Mm. And think of Nutella but with zero sugar, and that's exactly what it is.
Oh wow.
And it is it's quite the something.
Yeah. The one that I got in Ghent was a little jar of a Belgian chocolate spread.
Mm-hmm.
I actually kept the jar, turned it into a candle because I liked it that much. Like I've actually kept the actual jar.
So crafty.
I know, right?
Look at you making candles.
But yeah, it was this is as close as I can get to it. But I'm the one surprise with this oven and how I went to learn this. I was thinking about buying a fermentation box or a proofing box or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
This oven has a setting for it. And
so, nice.
Do you know what temperature it uses? Because my experience with ovens is their fermentation setting is a little bit high. And so is fine for like sugary, sweeter breads. But for longer, slow rise type breads is a little bit high and is, So just something to think about is it may be hotter than you really want it to be.
So I only have one data point,
mm-hmm.
apart from the information I've read online about it. So according to things we read last night, we want it 37 degrees Celsius or like 95 degrees Fahrenheit. And the default slow rise proofing is at 100 degrees Fahrenheit, 38 degrees Celsius. And I ran it for about 2 hours then after in the proofing basket. And I learned some interesting things, but it really did reactivate the yeast to the point I've never had it done before. So it's enough for me to say it's worth doing. But I definitely need to put a plate or something on top of it so it doesn't like turn into a ball. It turns more into a loaf. Does that make sense?
Well, if it's turning into a ball, I would say that means it's over proofing.
Mm. Okay.
Right. So you, like, it's on you to know when the right time to take it out is.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if it works for you, that is good. Now, what's your max temperature?
550.
And is it convection?
Mm-hmm.
Is it American convection or European convection?
African or European?
European, yeah, right.
The difference is a lot of American convection only uses the fan to get it up to temperature.
Hmm.
Versus European convection, which keeps the fan on.
I did see the fan running occasionally. inside there. Also, by the way, you may have missed the tweet earlier, but when I was signing up for the Wi-Fi, they use the IBM cloud. They use a container service because it came up with an IBM cloud URL when I tried to put my email address in.
Well, that's a
nobody find that interesting apart from me, of course. I finally found someone who uses the IBM cloud.
Yeah, is it like a Ingress DNS or is it like a static? Because what happens if their cluster goes away and they need to create a new cluster? Do they lose
vulnerability? I think they do. I think it's just like one Kubernetes cluster. And
it's probably fine. There's probably some like CNAME redirect thing happening anyway. So I'm sure it's fine. What could go wrong?
No.
we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Because I mean, IBM cloud users are generally incredibly savvy and wouldn't make mistakes like that.
Of course. Sponsored by IBM.
Just three IBM employees here.
So that's great. I am a Red Hat employee. Thank you very much.
I am as well. My paycheck says Red Hat and my RSUs say IBM. That's A-okay. Red Hat is still Red Hat. Very much the vibe. I'm impressed with how separate it is 2 years plus later. And I truly didn't expect it to be honest, after what I've heard. But it has been, it's been a wonderful, wonderful sign of what's to come. That Red Hat's value is through its independence. But three of us are not together to pitch Red Hat, especially on this. That would be probably an HR faux pas in no time.
Well, why don't we? Unless, of course, they're willing to sponsor us, in which case we're happy to talk more about our employer.
You didn't want to toss the hat in the ring? I'm trying to think of a good...
Really, you're going to do that?
Yeah, no, no.
So, JJ, just to close off your stove, your oven, sorry. Is it a double oven?
Yes.
Right, so that means you've got the top oven to cook things in and the bottom oven to store all of everything that you don't use in the oven in.
Well, actually, the bottom one is the proofing one right now, and the top one stores my clay pots. That's how it's working right now. But I see, I respect and tip my hat to the joke because it is true. I have nowhere else to put the shit.
Very cool. Well, I'm excited for you. So in home appliance news, since we're on the topic, last week, I believe I talked about my dishwasher being on the fritz. Mm-hmm. Turns out the part that I require is a super common part that's across a billion different brands of dishwasher, but at the same time is also out of stock absolutely everywhere, including the manufacturers. So that's a thing. My hope is that it's like stuck on a ship waiting to go through the Suez Canal. Mm-hmm. So hopefully something will show up. I ended up buying a used one on eBay just because I'd rather give that a shot than limp along hand drying dishes after they've done in the dishwasher. And then to really rub salt into the wounds, the grinder on our coffee machine has started complaining that there are no beans to be ground, even though there are beans to be ground.
Ooh.
And so I pulled apart an espresso machine the other day, which is quite an interesting experience. It's one of those ones that has like the grinder and everything fully built into the system. A lot of fun. I learned that the way it determines that the grinder is functioning properly, that it has beans in the grinder and that they're the appropriate types of beans, is via, it has two magnets on opposite sides of the motor when it spins around, and it has a Hall sensor that counts the pulses, and having the beans in there slows the grinder down. And it can count how much beans is in there by if it speeds up and slows down as it's going. So everything is done through this like one little Hall sensor. So I've found one place. Again, literally everywhere is out of it, including the manufacturer. I did find one place that had one. So I bought a new Hall sensor. So hopefully I'm getting that sometime in the next few days. And hopefully that is the problem with my coffee machine. Otherwise, I either need to replace the entire grinder section, which is probably $300 or $400, or the entire coffee machine, which is a lot more than $300 or $400.
All I heard were magnets.
Yeah.
And magnets are how his coffee works.
And that's just, I heard a hall monitor.
Yeah.
For all that is holy, it sounds like you had the time off between jobs that I always end up having over the holidays, where I'm like, I'm gonna, you know, write all these articles, or I'm gonna work out a bunch, and then you just end up like fixing two really stupid engineering problems for like 18 hours.
Yeah.
And then like just eating mac and cheese and being, you know, at least happy about that, but just unexpected waste of time.
The other exciting thing I did, sort of somewhat home appliance related, is Monoprice was having a sale on their monitors. And so I bought one. And it turns out that 49 inches is a lot bigger than I thought it was. It is, my monitor is just probably 6 inches short of being the entire width of my desk.
That is stupid.
It's bananas. And when I plug it into my poor old ailing Linux laptop, because that's all I have right now because I'm waiting on a new laptop, it uses 150% of the CPU just to drive enough pixels to the monitor.
As it renders, like I expected like a perfect like one metric screen size in the middle of that 49 inch behemoth to be the only thing that shows up. What in all that is holy made you think that that was what you wanted? Like, why?
I think it was Matty Stratton. He has the Dell version of it and has been going on and on about it. So I thought I'd get it. So the resolution on this monitor is, I need to do some math. It is 5120 by 1440.
No.
That's bonkers.
Yeah,
that is bonkers.
But what's actually kind of cool is I can actually split it into two or four virtual monitors. And so if I even wanted to, I could have two computers hooked up to it, each using a different section of the screen, which is an interesting thought. But it also means I can set it up as two monitors and have like my GNOME 3 like sidebar down the middle of the monitor if I want to. Mm-hmm. So I'm sort of experimenting with how I want that to be.
Yeah.
And I'm also getting used to like looking at the middle of the monitor, because I'm so used to on like running a two monitor system, always looking at one or the other versus being able to look at the dead center. So I'm still trying to get used to that, not having to like constantly go side to side.
Does it HDMI? If you turn it into two monitors, do you have an HDMI input for both sides?
Yeah, it's got four inputs. It's got two
so many ports. DP
display adapter.
Yeah.
Two DP display ports. Adapter and then two HDMI.
This is a good non sequitur. Does anyone know when that happened? Like, when did DP become the new standard? And I like completely blacked out, being like, what is the stupid device interface that I don't have any plugs for?
Right.
And now it's ubiquitous.
Yeah, so it's weird, because for this for so long, it was like you got mad every time you came across a DP port, because all the monitors were
HDMI.
Even before HDMI, they were DVI. Oh.
Right, DVI was right? Between and then VGA you would have to HDMI,
you'd have to get like a DVI like adapter to go from DisplayPort to DVI, and then suddenly HDMI became popular, and then suddenly, I wonder if it's because we all started using the USB 3 for all of it, and maybe DisplayPort is the most like easiest to convert the
digital signal
between them.
You can use USB-C as a display adapter.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
But I think that just you're converting the signal and using paths on that to like effectively be the same signal as a DP or HDMI.
I just heard that you have an extra screen with an HDMI port on it. So you're going to put like your Xbox on there. So when you're like on a call or doing work on this side, you're just going to sit there and play like games on the other. That's exactly what I would do in that situation.
Absolutely. And you know, I could use my Elgato HDMI in for that as well and have it in a window versus trying to take up a whole monitor. So I have options.
Nice.
But I'm going to attempt not to play too many Xbox games while trying to do my new job.
Yeah.
You know, at least for the first
few. Yeah, not all of us are on the path to distinguished.
That's right. AJ.
I'm just learning slowly but surely how to. Yeah, exactly.
No, yeah, you're just like 100 hours of meetings away from your next promotion, and like you know, JJ's got to start some actual work, and I've got to keep publishing articles. So, you know, different strokes. You know.
Yeah, there you go.
I like your energy, though. I was having a slower day, and I like needed a breath between kind of mentally taxing tasks, and I took an hour and just played some PlayStation 5 because nice. I was able to get my hands on that, as nice. Reported here. Finally, it was slow to start, but it's picking up. I'm into Assassin's Creed Valhalla. It's set at I'm finally hitting like the main plot line, and it's set at the time like after Ragnar Lothbrok died and his sons are taking over parts of medieval England. And I'm about to run into all the kings of England and the Lothbroks, which are like, you know, this legendary family. And you're this badass, you know, I chose the woman because she's the main character from the original designers. And they only made a male one to placate very pathetic men who can't handle a female protagonist. So playing as this badass woman called Wolfkiss because she was bit by a wolf. Anyway, it's fun. And also, no shame in taking a mental break during your work day, as long as you're getting your shit done.
Absolutely.
But yeah, good game, great graphics. So I'm pro gaming, maybe not like in the first week of work, but yeah, you'll get there.
Now, speaking of work and weeks and things, a lot of people have got some vacation coming up. Because I believe this weekend is the weekend we celebrate the death of Jesus Christ. Is that right? Is that how it works? Like, isn't tomorrow the day we celebrate him dying? And then Monday we're celebrating him, like, no, coming
Sunday.
Back?
Sunday.
Wait, Sunday. I thought he rose after 3 days. Isn't that Monday?
Well, you had to convert it to UTC. And then,
well, hang on, no. Sunday is when we celebrate the Easter Bunny. I think Monday is when we celebrate.
Oh, Jesus really?
Being reborn or something.
Oh,
right?
Shit!
But anyway, aside from all that insane Christianity stuff that most of us are tangentially attached to, we also have the lesser publicized, like Passover, right?
Matt. Lesser publicized, you know, OG man, been around for 4,000 plus.
That's
years.
Right. That's right. It's like it's been around so long, we don't really like.
Yeah.
Like
it,
no one.
We haven't noticed it since Egypt. Yeah.
Right? But you know what I mean.
Yeah. So it's Passover time. It's the fifth or sixth day of Passover. You know, traditionally, I'm growing up in a Reformed house. There, you do first night for sure. Second night, if you have other family members you don't want at your first night meal, or you're going to hang out with some other community. And then after that, it's like a ... don't eat bread for a while longer, which...
Really?
Yeah, so to recognize the exodus out of Egypt, which is like the foundation of the holiday, the idea is that Jews were leaving with their bread not fully baked and unleavened, and it flattened and turned into what we now symbolize through matzah, which is technically edible, is the right category for that food product. And like it's just like a really bad cracker, and you're supposed to skip any leavening in any food for the Passover holiday to kind of be connected with that story. I've been eating matzah sometimes, but definitely had like an amazing crispy chicken sandwich last night on like a brioche bun that was to die for. So, you know.
So So somebody made a reference today on a call I was on, and they said, well, it's Passover, and I put some X's up atop my door. Yeah. Is that a thing? I don't know. Yeah, I don't understand. I didn't get that reference.
Yeah, not recently. The biblical story, so even Christians and Muslims can know the story too, right? The biblical story is that the last plague before the Pharaoh said, yes, get these people the hell out of my country, was the death of the firstborn child. And the way Jews marked that their homes should be safe and not killed by the angel of death, which is really creepy story when you get down to it, they put lamb blood in an X on their door to signify they were the children of God, or the Israelites. So yeah, I'm impressed with the reference. I don't know if I drop that in a meeting casually. It's a pretty dark story and very religious. So.
Yeah, it came out of left field, and I was like, I don't. Okay, and I just like, yeah, as an idiot, smiled and nodded and say, yeah, that sounds about right.
Just say Chag Sameach and move on. Or Chag Pesach. It's yet another holiday that falls into the categorical joke of Judaism. It's, they tried to kill us, they didn't succeed, let's eat. Like, that is Jewish holidays in a nutshell. And it's fun. We did a video chat with my dad out in New York, and my stepmom and my uncles out in California joined, and Adele and I are hanging out here in the Midwest. So I honestly, as much as I cannot wait for COVID to be over, I am, one of the things I'm taking with me is like, that works for our family. Like, we don't all want to get to the same place every year, people flying all over. I think a little video chat catch up for an hour or two, like once a year, like that'll keep people connected better than we have been, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. So it's a positive out of the change of pace.
So you're going to put everyone on a Clubhouse room and just chat away? Is that what's going to go on?
I could see that not happening. Yes. Yeah. Oh man. So yeah, but another important part of Passover are these inexpensive and not necessarily high quality macaroons.
Now, can you explain the difference to those of us in the audience that don't know? What's the difference between a macaroon and a macaron?
So frustrating. I don't get why they're almost the same word. I only knew about macaroons because of Passover. Like, that was the only reference I had. It's the only dessert that's like really delicious during Passover. And it's a coconut based kind of lump of magic and sunshine. I actually don't know what else is in there. Yeah. So it's like coconut, tapioca starch, sugar, egg whites, cocoa. And it's just, I did in fact eat this entire can of them. I actually ate two cans of these in the last 4 days.
Hold that can up for me real quick. Hold it up for me real quick. I'm looking for it.
I like the chocolate ones particularly. They're not even that chocolatey, but they're pretty good. And then a macaron, or however you're supposed to say it if you know what the hell you're doing, is a French delicacy of like this really thin wafer that is absolutely magical and delicious in its own right. And, you know, my wife being a Francophile and living in France for a while, she's all about those. So I say I want macaroons, and she actually came home with macarons one time. I'm like, they're okay. She's like, you asked for these. I'm like, no, I didn't.
I mean, I don't want to be offensive to the traditions of the macaroons, but
no, you're good. This is not like a religious...
definitely an upgrade. So
is fully, like, to be clear, this is trash panda food. Like, right. what I am holding near and dear is not the same.
So we used to have coconut macaroons occasionally back in Australia, but there was no real connection to like its Jewish heritage. It was just something that you could get.
To be clear, I have no idea if it originates in Jewish culture or not. All I know is that I'd have these as a kid and they're my favorite. It's a great question. If anyone listening has more information and wants to come school us, you are very welcome to.
Absolutely.
I do remember one of the very first times I did an international flight. Kelly thought it would be amusing to order like specialty meals for me. And she ordered the kosher meal. And it was predominantly like matzah.
Matzah, if you want to say it right.
And not nearly enough liquid to like take care of the dry mouth. Talk about pretzels making me thirsty.
No, yeah, it's like eating a box of saltines like per bite. It just seems to be as dry as the desert, which I think is supposed to be part of the symbolism,
right?
But it's really just offensive. And the only time I ever enjoyed it as a kid is there's so many ways of trying to disguise it and not quite getting there. So like two recipes a lot of kids make if you are trying to stick to the religion but also enjoy food is matzah pizza, very popular, just like toaster oven pizza on those.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
And matzah pop tarts. So make your own pop tarts, which is basically just glaze them in sugar and sprinkles.
Well, matzah pizza would basically be the same thing as St. Louis style pizza, right? Because that's basically pizza on like a very crackery kind of crust.
That's a great point. Yeah, it's, I mean, I still don't think there's egg matzah, which actually has some flavor to it, and it's kind of tasty, but like any of the classic just flour matzahs are just, if you could use anything else, you should.
And then to make the matzah ball soup, you basically like grind it up and make a kind of dumpling kind of thing out of it, right? And then you put it, cook it in like a chicken soup.
Yeah, you end up cooking it in a chicken noodle soup style deal. Matzah brei or matzah farfel is like I don't know if those are Yiddish terms or actually like changes to the recipe. Looks just clumpy.
So when you get out of the Passover time frame, do you have like a big celebratory dinner to be like, yay, we can have real food again? Or is it like, you know, like with the Muslim holiday, Ramadan, right? Like at the very end of Ramadan, the family comes together and you have a feast because you've done the month long fasting. Is it the same kind of thing with Passover and Judaism?
Isn't every Jewish meal a feast by definition?
It's generally a pretty extensive Seder. Like if you do the full day one Passover tradition, you're sitting down for about 4 hours. You're drinking at least four glasses of wine, and the modern conversion has been four bottles.
Jesus.
And yeah, so you should be drunk and chatty and eating a big piece of lamb chop if you want. I made short ribs as like another sort of fatty, meaty main dish, and it was really good. It's a good question. I don't think it wasn't in the tradition I had, which was not exactly standard, I'd say, of having any sort of big celebration at the end. It's really the celebration at the beginning, because, you know, even though you're taking something away, you're supposed to be so excited about like reliving the past and the success and the unity you feel as a group of people that were coming out of, you know, slavery.
Nice. So that makes perfect sense. I was just kind of like making the connections in my head, you know.
So. Oh yeah, no, totally fair. And this is one of those ones where I'm just like, I recognize, like, I know enough to have this conversation. And also one of the big things for me is like in my mid-30s, I didn't learn this stuff terribly well, but I feel attached enough to it to try to learn it again and make new traditions and new connections. And I feel like very much in the, I could be wrong on a lot of this, but also like, yeah, this is what I know. Finding that balance as we, you know, make new traditions.
Yeah. It's pretty fun. In Austin, Texas, or in Texas now, we have a tradition of a massive winter storm coming through in the beginning of February.
Every
10 years or every year that we just haven't seen the next year's version of it. So I was going somewhere with that joke, and it completely just like petered out at the end. But you know, I tried. I tried.
You're very trying, JJ.
I know I am.
Either of your families do any sort of Easter thing, or do you like sacrifice bunnies or whatever the modern version is?
So I have the privilege right now is a good word for it, that my little brother is still here in Germany. I'm still here from
still Germany. Here in Germany.
Yeah, right. Still here back here from Germany. If you're listening to this real time, Germany has shut down really, really strongly, and he's already been here for a couple weeks. It turns out when he flew back, no grocery stores, nothing would be open. So he would not actually be able to get anything when he got back to Germany. So he decided to stay here for another week, and it coincided with Easter. So this is the first time my immediate parents, family, nuclear group is all in the same place for Easter in going on 6 years. Wow, that's cool. Yeah, so we're gonna have like a big Easter egg hunt for all my little girls and nieces, and then I have it's a frozen tenderloin that I got at H Mart like a year ago that's been in the back of my fridge. I'm gonna sous vide the hell out of it and then sear it on the
freezer
grill.
I hope.
Freezer. Thank you for that.
Scrape the mold off it and then just go to town.
It's called aging, right?
aging, duh.
But in a very long-winded way, like I speak. The Asgard family isn't very religious in general. That's why I ask these questions that I do. But we do try to come together as a family and really try to at least see each other when we can.
Well, I feel like that's one of the big positives that a lot of religions have, is that emphasis on like family and family gathering, mm-hmm. And not just like your super tight-knit close family, but larger families. So anything that brings us together with the people that we love or are supposed to love, I call at least partially a good thing.
I call that DevOps days. Hey, no, nothing. Oh,
damn. I mean, again, you tried, and that's all we can like. Statistically, you're gonna get 1 out of 1,000, so you gotta keep swinging.
It's true. It's so true. That's
good stuff. So, speaking of taking swings, everyone's favorite beer, Pabst Blue Ribbon, really is releasing a new hard coffee flavor. So first of all, I had no idea that PBR even made a hard coffee, let alone releasing a new flavor.
What?
And so they had this tweet that said, we have a brand new flavor coming out. And then they replied to their own tweet and said, and no, it's not poop and pee.
Good God.
Like the marketing genius around allowing that mm-hmm. kind of tweet is just amazing.
I envy that.
So many people are going to like laugh and retweet that, right?
It's true. Sure. That's a good point.
Yeah, it's perfectly childish and also disturbing. They have a hard coffee, but like it's infotainment. I'm using the annoying phrase. It's definitely, I now know something I definitely didn't care about and I still don't, but now I know it because of poop and pee.
Yeah, I guess it's true. When I go to the grocery store, I'm going to look for it because I'm like, we had this conversation. I'm not going to buy it, but I might look for it and pick it up. And then someone else behind me might be like, oh, he's buying, looking at this. Maybe, oh, wow. Those evil bastards.
I feel like they're just leaving a tiny little hint there that maybe at some point in the future there will be a poop and pee flavored hard coffee.
We don't live in Idiocracy quite yet. Quite yet.
It's what plants crave.
Exactly. I actually made the reference to my parents the other day. I'm like, oh yeah, Costco's great. You know, one day you'll be able to get your JD from there. My mom looked at me, she's like, what? Yeah, Idiocracy, you can get your lawyer degree from there. And she's like, you're kidding, right? And I'm like,
yes.
Yes. Yes, I am. You obviously haven't seen the movie. But she believed it. She believed it for a split moment. So, you know.
So, well, I'd be remiss not to ask. So, since believing is idiotic, particularly this week with April Fool's being part of it, that PBR thing is definitely not an April Fool's joke.
I mean, it was a few days ago.
Oh, even okay. Worse.
Okay. Well,
so
I
unless
saw,
it's like a pre-April Fool's, which I don't know, is that a thing? It was definitely a few days ago.
Yeah, I know Volkswagen got some shit for their pre-April Fool's joke of renaming the company to Volkswagen.
It's such a German thing, though. It's such a German joke.
It really is. I'm so done with like April Fool's. I haven't enjoyed anything April Fool's-ish for ages. Like, I think I liked it back when it was just like a person-to-person, like, amusing thing versus this very, again, like, corporatized, like, every company feels like they have to do something. And I don't know. I haven't enjoyed it for a long time. Like, back when a good April Fool's joke was you'd modify the company transparent squid proxy to turn every image upside down.
Yeah.
Like, that was... Yeah. That was an April Fool's joke. Nets.
Yes.
Those were good days.
It was good days.
It's definitely, it's long in the tooth. It can be a little, it can be fun. Like, I think any reason to laugh can be fun. And I want to have some levity in my day. I want to be entertained while I'm learning stuff. Like, that's an advantage. I think it's particularly unwelcome these days, given the unclear state of information gathering.
Right,
like I don't think we need help double guessing, double checking, questioning our sources and are they lying to me or not. Like, you know, if the Associated Press came out with a joke right now, I think I would just kind of quit the internet. Like, I need you to tell me the truth because no one else is. And also, like, there's just such a undeniable campaign for our attention at all times and all channels. Mm-hmm. I think it just, you know, rightfully pisses us off that we're constantly being monetized with and very poorly at that. Like, you have to have ad blockers running at all times just to read an article so some company can make a bunch of money off you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so maybe we're a little pissy. That said, I watched a video from a tech startup and I have no idea why they did an April Fool's joke, but they did like a fake trailer for a movie and it was about being anti data driven and people talking about how they just don't believe in data driven. And like, it's like, there's only one thing I use to evaluate the value of anything. And it's my gut. And it did make me laugh out loud. Like, I have sat in a room with that person trying to tell me that the data is not as helpful as their gut intuition, and those people suck, and it's funny to see that made fun of.
Yeah,
that being said, data on itself isn't necessarily helpful, so I can kind of see where you could be coming from. Like,
I'm with you. It has to be
good, useful, curated data. I collected everything ever done and therefore random patterns emerge and I'm calling that, you know, the thing that's going to save our company.
Isn't that person of interest? The TV show Person of Interest was our whole premise.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. I had completely forgotten about that TV show. And as soon as we finish this discussion, I will completely forget about it all over again.
Wonderful.
I've not heard of it and I don't plan to investigate, but I'll take your word.
It was basically Minority Report, except big data instead of mind readers.
Okay. That's a great summary. I immediately know the plot and pass.
Yeah.
Are you guys watching anything entertaining right now?
Not really. I feel like we're in a little bit of a glut. I'm trying to find something worth watching and just failing miserably. I'll probably attempt to watch the Eagle Man versus Metal Arm or whatever it's called on Disney.
Winter Soldier. No, Winter Soldier and Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, that's the one. That's what I said. Yeah. Eagle Man and Metal Arm.
Yeah,
I'll probably try and watch that, but I don't have Disney Plus, and I've run out of being able to do free trials of Disney Plus to watch one show because it's not worth subscribing to. So I don't know. If I can find a friend that has it in a streamable fashion, I'll try and watch it. But
yeah.
Other than that, we did just watch, well, it hasn't quite finished yet. I think it's called 7 Seconds, which is an interesting watch on Netflix. Okay. And it's basically a cop in New York hits a kid, and then it all gets covered up. And then the district attorney and her detective basically like figuring their way through to who it actually was.
Spoiler.
Yeah, and it's good, but it's also like a little bit depressing because it's a little bit too close to like what really happens.
Yeah, I mean, shedding light on the situation, I guess. Yeah. I'm watching two shows right now. One that is horrible. It's so bad it's good, and probably my favorite TV show of all time for some reason that just completely hooked me. The one that's hooked me that I go out of my way to watch is For All Mankind. It's an Apple Plus show. It's about the space race, right? But the Russians won. So it's like a flip of the Russians got to the moon first. And now it's an alternate history story, and it's done by Ronald D. Moore, the same guy who did Battlestar Galactica. And the main protagonist is the first Takashi Kovacs from Altered Carbon, that really tall guy. Yeah. And he's one hell of an actor, like legit great in his role. And it's a really, really great show. If you've not seen it, start at the beginning. If you don't like the first episode and the nerd stuff in it, you're not going to like the rest of it. But if you like the nerd stuff they talk about and like space race stuff thingies, you're just going to be like sitting there with popcorn just shoving in your mouth because it's so fun.
Now, didn't the Russians actually win the space race, but America kept moving the goalposts until they got to one first?
Well, arguably it was Chernobyl that kind of stopped the space race that crushed the Russians because they ran out of money. More so than the moving their goalposts. But that's my philosophy. Right.
Okay. So, I mean, they were like the Russians were the first to send things into space.
Yeah, but not to the moon. Like the idea was
it was called the space race, not the moon race.
Yeah.
That was the idea. Shot.
Yeah. The idea was like we're supposed to put like a base up there on the moon so we can have it as a jump off point to Mars. Right. Like you need some place to collect things before you go to your second stage. Because of the way physics work, right?
Wait, so in the 50s, when they were trying to get to the moon, they were doing that specifically so they could use it as a jumping point to get to Mars.
I think eventually they came up with realizing that
So here you go. You're moving the goalposts again. Moved it from the moon, now you moved it to Mars.
Same argument with Same argument with the internet. We keep moving the goalposts there too, right? Like that's what engineering is. But what I really want to talk about is the show that's so bad it's good. And that's a show called High Seas or Alta Maria. It's a Spanish show, right? It's on Netflix. And it's a mystery that is basically some Spanish writers from Spain. It's in Spain. Watched a bunch of novellas. Took what a novella is from like Latin culture, put it in as a period drama after the 1940s or just after World War II in the 1940s, and put them all on a ship from Spain to Buenos Aires, right? It's basically a massive bottle episode of people stuck on ships that randomly get killed, like just for no apparent reason. There's like murders all over the place, weird class warfare, and it's all on this like Titanic like ship. It's a cruise ship, and it's so bad, so ridiculous that you just like they couldn't bring in ghosts. Holy shit, they brought in ghosts. Where the fuck did that come from? And it's just, it is so bad, so brutally bad that I'm actually so worked up watching it that I started taking notes, because I'm going to put a blog post together about how much I hated and loved this show because it's that bad.
JJ, what it sounds like to me is something that you and someone else that is into the same sorts of things as you should actually do, like the podcast of watching it and like tearing each episode apart in the podcast. And I am definitely not volunteering for that, but someone like Thomas, I think, would be excellent as a co-host on that. Now, when you said high seas, I was like, is this going to be like an ocean thing? Is it going to be like a musical thing? Are we all hitting our high seas, mm-hmm. or are we just going to be walking around drinking juice boxes? So I'm glad I now know
juice boxes.
So I'm glad we know it's that. So it's mostly about a bunch of seamen.
No, believe it or not, there's actually very few sailors. Very few. For whatever reason, there's like they're in the background, but it's like I realize obviously the joke, but it's I'm telling you, Paul, it's so bad. And it's like, and the worst part is Netflix bought 3 seasons of it. So they made it the first one, and Netflix came in and spent a fuck ton of money to buy the next 2 rights. But I'm going to spoil it because I know you're not going to watch it. The most recent season came out in 2019, and they started filming it in 2020 for the fourth and final season. But the last season in 2019 was about a virus that broke out on the ship, and how it started killing people, and how they were like moving a virus from Buenos Aires to Mexico. So they were like, holy shit, this, like we can't keep going here, because, you know, obviously the world. So it got gutted, and it leaves them right on this like crazy, it's just, there's so many things about this show that's just like, it's a disaster. It's a train wreck that you're just like, oh, this is brilliant when it comes to watching television. Anyway.
You sound like everyone I've talked to that is obsessed with watching like reality television. Like that is the insanity and excitement in your voice of just like, these people are terrible. What they're talking about is awful. This all doesn't make sense. I can't stop watching this shit.
It's true.
It defies logic. It's so good.
Yeah.
I just remembered something, and it's kind of off topic, but did you know that on the weekend I saved an entire township from burning down? It's not quite that dramatic. I went kayaking in San Marcos, and that's actually not quite San Marcos, JJ. It's a little township near San Marcos. And next to the kayak launch was a tree that had been on fire and was still on fire a little bit. And the wind was really picking up, and it was starting to fan those fires. So I called the local sheriff, because I decided it probably wasn't an emergency, and they sent out the local volunteer fireman. And then right as he arrived, it started raining and the fire was put out. And he kind of finished it off, but it was mostly put out by the rain.
That's great.
But it sounded less like
you saved people's lives and more like you wasted a couple people's days.
Well, you know, everyone is the hero of their own story, right? So I called the volunteer fire department on a Sunday morning to equate that. You know, I saved an entire township from burning down.
I appreciate that he said firefighter appeared, right?
Like, yes, like it was one man. His truck was probably 40 years old, and clearly his clutch wasn't working very well. And it was amazing. I enjoyed every second of the event.
That's awesome.
Good for you. Thank you.
An average day in the life of the hero that I am.
Yeah. Paul the firefighter. I respect it.
Well, it's hard to top that.
It is very hard to stop that.
So, all right, gentlemen. Well, I guess it's goodbye.
Was it time to wrap things up?
I think so.
Why don't we wrap things up by doing a quick around the room and talk about what all we're cooking. JJ, you should kick it off. I assume that it will be things in a brand new oven.
Yes. And also, my little brother showed me how to do his default cake, which has 6 fucking eggs in it, which is weird. But I'm going to try his recipe also. I'll report back.
All right. If it works out, feel free to drop off a batch of, is it like a strawberry cake or something, I think?
It's kind of angel foodie. Like, it's a basic cake. My mom's like, this is the cake everybody learns in home economics when I was in school. And I was like, but there's 6 eggs in it. And she's like, yeah, normally there's only 2. And my brother was like, no. You need 6, so it's fluffy. And I'm like, okay.
I'm all for that because that's good protein. Although that's eggs that could be deviled eggs, and that's a bit of a sadness.
Yeah,
that's true.
I did see a joke the other day that was, "Hey man, you want to eat 12 hard boiled eggs? No. Well, how about we cut them in half, sprinkle some paprika on them, and then hell yeah."
I love that framing.
Yeah. Matt, what about you? What are you cooking? Have you been inspired by our little Chinese food adventure? Are we going to see some Chinese food out of you?
It's been delicious. The challenge has been that my person doesn't eat as spicy of food as I do. So I think I'm taking a touch of a break from the Sichuan path. And it's supposed to stay actually warm for multiple days in a row. And I have not taken care of like grill time in a while. So I would like to buy a beautiful hunk of meat and smoke it for a while. I'm feeling pulled porky. I could go for like a pork butt, pulled pork shoulder or type vibe.
Sounds delicious. Perfect way to celebrate Passover.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, bring it to an end with the least kosher of meals.
Have you ever smoked or grilled lamb ribs?
I never have, no.
No, you should give that a try. It's pretty good.
That is good stuff.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
Just putting it out there.
Not as sacrilegious, but maybe I'll try it out.
I mean, you can be sacrilegious or sacrilicious.
Hey.
Both have ishes in it, so it must be delicious. Okay. Paul, what are you up to?
Yeah, so I am, let me think. I haven't got any specific things planned, but I just yesterday, as my last day of unemployment, smoked a little Wagyu chuck roast that was on sale down at my local HEB and turned it into chuck burnt ends. And they were delicious. And then I actually put them on skewers with a little bit of onion and pickle between them. And just finish them on my little indoor electric grill just to kind of heat them up. And I glaze them with a combination of barbecue sauce and my tare.
Nice.
And it turned out delicious. And here's an exciting pro tip, JJ. You'll probably like this. At H Mart, you can buy frozen takoyaki balls. And you just stick them in an oven and or a air fryer for like 20 minutes on like 420 degrees or whatever. And you get what's pretty close to something you would get at like a cheaper, like casual takoyaki stand where you'd go after drinking a bunch of beer in Japan.
Nice.
Nice.
So I did a couple of them as well and they were delicious. But I have misplaced my bonito flakes. So I wasn't able to put the bonito flakes on top. And like, they're the best part of the takoyaki because they kind of wave at you from on top. And it's not the same without that.
They're rather glimmery in that way. Wait, so what's with the pickle on the skewers? Like, I love pickles. I just didn't. Is that like a, just how did you discover that combo?
So Texas barbecue is generally like smoked beef, onions and pickles, right? You always have sliced onions and pickles with your barbecue. So I just kind of wanted to make like one bite barbecue things. So I figured if I put the onion and the pickle on the skewer with the burnt end, it would be sort of one bite. You would take the piece of burnt end, the pickle and the onion and chomp it.
Makes sense. Okay, that adds up and I'll allow it. All right, all. Well, I hope you enjoy cooking whatever you're cooking up this weekend. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.